So how'd you do? How was your experience where the light shines through Advent Journal? There's some of these booklets that are available here in this building up front and in the back. If you're watching from home, you can text me or write me through the webpage, and I will mail one of these to you. It's challenging. This was a hard week. It dealt with hopelessness and abandonment and it was to get you ready for this evening. Wendy and Brenda and children, thank you for your leadership tonight. One of our shepherds mentioned to me just before it was time for me to get up, he was just frankly wondering what I had to say that would improve what we've already talked about. And I could pretty much just say, let's go home. That was church. Ladies, that was church. That was the Holy Spirit of God leading very dramatically, very profoundly in difficulty. Here's the rub. For light to shine through stained glass, it has to be transparent. But for too long, Christians have pretended. For too long, people that claim the name of Jesus have said the words and behaved in a way that felt appropriate. But in my efforts and energy to come across like I've got it all together, like I've got it all figured out, within me, it had me feeling really alone because I know I didn't. But worse than that, it works as an affection among other people. And they meet with Jesus people, and they see all of those people with their acts together. And in the assembly of the saints, they feel more alone and more isolated than when they got there. Out of our fears and our wounds and our isolation, we have pretended like we don't have fears and wounds and isolation. And it gets worse. We sort of double down because there comes a point at which we Christians, we wouldn't say these words, but we essentially have eliminated some scriptures from our minds and our hearts. We really have to ignore Psalm 22 and Psalm 10 and 130 and Psalm 38 and Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Time and time again in scripture, especially in those Psalms, there is lament. There is scripture that speaks about the darkness that we've already been talking about tonight. I don't know if my heart has ever sung so loudly in silence than what it did tonight. If we had permission from Governor Inslee, I'm not sure if tonight I could have sung with you, Wendy, because I kept choking up. Because of the lyrics, as they course not through my mind, not through my vocal cords, but through my heart, they moved me deeply. They convicted me. They convinced me that what I was saying in my heart was true. Psalm 130 begins with these words: "From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O God." Psalm 6 begins with these words: "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I'm weak. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. I'm sick at heart. How long, Lord, how long until you rescue me?" That's scriptural truth right there. Psalm 38 verses 8, 9, and 10 say, "I'm exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know what I long for, Lord. You hear my every sigh. My heart beats wildly and my strength fails. Psalm 10 begins with this phrase, O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide from me when I'm in such trouble? And maybe you'll recognize these words from Psalm 22. Not from the heart of the psalmist, but maybe you'll hear it in your head, the voice of Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he breathed his last words on the cross. If we continue to pretend like we have our act together, we will damage the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Could I say it more clearly than that? It's not just psychologically healthy for you to get in touch with your hard times. It's not enough to say, I need some human emotion in me. I need to feel more. I need to get more in touch with myself. No, I'm saying that we are called to deal honestly with the darkness of our soul. You know, getting ready for tonight, it was a struggle because actually, next Monday night is the winter solstice. Next Monday night is the shortest day of the year. Next Monday night is the longest night of the year. But on a more practical level, we thought, wait, at Renovatus, next Sunday night is when we're going to be dismissing to go to celebrate Christmas. So we're not going to sing about the darkness then. We're going to move our summer, our winter solstice up 1 week. Some people call that night the dark night of the soul and take opportunity to intentionally, purposefully lament. Like Brenda said, life is found when we embrace it. When we are willing to embrace the darkness and the hurts and the wounds, the fears and the disappointments, it is through death that resurrection is found. I would say it like this. He's waiting in the darkness for us. We want to find Jesus in the happy place, but if you look at Scripture, the desert is not some place to avoid. Those lifeless places in life are the place that God calls his people to, and he says, come to me in the wilderness. And for the next four decades, you'll learn to be my people. Jesus starts out his ministry not with people, but by being called out to the wilderness where he's alone and where physically he suffers. If we are willing to be people alive for Jesus and broken for Jesus, then, and I would say only then, can we actually live our lives before him holding nothing back. And so we rely on some people who, like Wendy, choose songs, and some writers that write songs. But tonight we said, I surrender. Here I am, God. Arms wide open, pouring out my life gracefully broken. We sang, I know this night won't last. Tonight we sang, light in the darkness, as we cried out to him. You made a way when there seems to be no way. And I believe, I'll see, I'll see you do it again. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working, because you never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. One of our core values at the Renovatus Church is authenticity. Being honest about our own clumsiness with life is the best way we know to invite others to experience the power of our loving God. We are reckless enough to need Jesus in front of other people, choosing to live see-through lives. Choosing to live see-through lives. Choosing to live see-through lives in which people can watch Christ followers at their best and at their worst. So this week's journal entries included phrases like utterly alone and abandonment and no hope in sight and isolation. So as we wrap this up tonight, I'm going to invite you to take a short journey, to walk with the people of Psalm 42. I want you to imagine that you're walking with them. And the sun is beating down on us all. And the children are crying. And the women are crying. And the men are crying. Because we never thought this would happen. We never thought we could get here. It's never been this bad in our entire lives. But it's really gone down. The capital city of God's people, the city of Jerusalem, is ablaze, has been ransacked, is destroyed. And we are held together not by our faith in Him, but by ropes and chains. And our enemy is leading us away from the home where we grew up, where the valley where we belong. All of a sudden, all of us are questioning, who are we now? If God's holy city can be taken down, how can this be? And so our captors begin to walk us through the heat north. And we leave this area where we've grown up our lives, where we've been for generations. And more, you're seeing territory that you've never seen before. And more, you realize we're leaving the valley. We're climbing. We're entering the foothills north. If all of this weren't bad enough, the captors along the way yank your chain literally and say, "Where's your God now? Where is this God that's supposed to save you now, Jew?" And the tears won't stop. You climb further into the foothills. You're walking along a river that was familiar, the Jordan River, but now you're actually getting to the headwaters, and you're seeing part of the Jordan that you've never seen before. And finally, your captors give you a moment. And right there where the water is churning, right there where it cascades, you get a chance to sit down. You get a chance to drink. You get a chance to weep with others. And somebody begins to sing. As a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night my tears have been my only food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours now? My heart is breaking. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks. And amid the sounds of a great celebration, I praised. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so wounded? But I will remember you, Lord. And I will praise you again. I will praise him, my God and my Savior. But now I'm deeply discouraged. I will remember you, even from this distant mountain, Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the water, the raging sea, and I feel the waves surging over the top of me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love on me. And through each night, I sing his songs. And I pray to the God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by these enemies? Their taunts, they break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my God and my Savior. So, O people of transparency, that allow the light to shine through into the darkness, it's so important that we courageously remain in the darkness. It's so important that we don't just endure a night of lament and say, well, God, glad we got that over with. He's hungering to be found in the darkness by people who don't have relationship with him and by people who do have relationship. I will put my hope in him. I will praise him again. I will remember. Through the night, I will sing his songs. When we despair, when we are stuck, when we're wallowing, you know what I think we need? I think we need a God who's bigger than my darkness, bigger than my despair. In Barrow, Alaska, they live 320 miles north of the Arctic Circle. 4,000 courageous people choose to live in winter all year long. 65 days of the year, they do not see the sun ever. And so last November, as we were worshiping here on the 15th, they watched the sun go down, not to appear on the 16th. And they will remain without the sun until Friday, January 22nd. Next Monday is the winter solstice. In Barrow, Alaska, twilight, when the sun almost makes an appearance, but not quite, twilight will last only 3 hours there. That's one long night. And as we approach the longest day of the year this week, I want to encourage you to courageously, like those Alaskans, stay in the darkness. Remain in the darkness, because there's two things that'll happen in the dark. Number one, you'll find him, because he awaits us there. But number two, you know what else you're going to find? You're going to find a hand. We need to find him in the darkness, and we need to find a hand. There's somebody that's groping around in the darkness that needs to find your hand. And there's somebody, as you grope around in the darkness, that you need a human touch. It's a little hard to measure social distancing in the deep darkness. But in that level of isolation, hope can be found. On the darkest night of the soul, there needs to be somebody who chooses to be the one through whom light can shine. We're staying in this darkness because we're the ones that carry the story of Christmas. And there was a night when politically people were oppressed, when there was no hope on the horizon, when it seemed the darkness of the night would never be over, that a star appeared and some people discovered that there was hope after all. Okay. Besides working through the journal, you've got some other homework, and your homework is this. You've got to go home, if you're here, and watch the online presentation, because there's one piece of the puzzle and all the things that have happened in the last hour, there's one piece that really doesn't fit. It was really charming and cute, but it doesn't fit. We have lamented except for one moment. And you know the moment I'm talking about? Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven. Oh, they just let the kids sing whatever they want. No. Just like every other moment this evening, this has been orchestrated by the hand of God. Because only in the deep darkness is there a source of light and hope, and that is Jesus Christ and nothing else. It is in the darkness that we can begin to sing songs of hope. In Barrow, Alaska, what's awful in the winter is a blessing in the summertime. Between mid-May and September, Barrow, Alaska becomes the land of the rising sun. That is, it never sets. You go to bed when it's bedtime, but you don't go to bed because it's dark. Because the truth is, it gets closer to the horizon and it never touches down and the sun rises again. Next Monday, on the shortest night, pray for clear skies, because there's going to be something that hasn't happened for a long, long time. If you've been noticing, there's some lovely stars, and when the stars come out, some of the first stars that come out are going to be on the western horizon. And there is a moment that has been called by some the Star of Bethlehem, when Jupiter and Saturn will almost be in perfect alignment, the best it's been in 800 years. In our darkest night, in the dark night of the soul, there is going to be a star to remind us all that there's hope. And we are the ones that have the Christmas message. So do your homework this week. A, go home and watch the video again and sing along. B, do some work in that journal. Do some wrestling with the dark night of the soul, because this darkness is leading to some beautiful, beautiful examples of light in the dark. Holy God, we pray for the courage to remain in the darkness and to trust you. And God, as we experience physically the dark night of the soul, would you allow us the faith to trust you during our most difficult moments? Father, we are so grateful to you for the provision you have made for us. And we are so grateful to you for allowing us to be a part of the messengers that get to say, there's hope on the horizon, the light has come. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, God the Father. And we praise you, Emmanuel. Amen.